Good morning, good morning, good morning. Go ahead and have a seat. I know some parents are probably going to be making their way back in here, but I want to have some time for us to share an update. Two Sundays ago in the evening, the Battelle mission team, I think it's number 21, we're up here on the screen, except Nathan, he was taking the picture behind the camera. We arrived back from Battelle. If you don't know, Battelle is a church planting organization. It's also a residential program for men and women who are recovering from drug and alcohol addiction. It is international. It started in Spain. The one that we are most closely tied to is the one in the UK. They have six different centers there, the primary one being in Birmingham. But then they also have one in Nottingham, in Derby, in Hexham, in Scotland, and in Manchester. I did it this time. And so we are a traveling team. We hit every single center. And what we do is we have what we call prophetic prayer appointments for every single man and woman who's part of the Battelle program. And also we have appointments for all of the missionaries. And we just, for 30 minutes, we just listen to God. And we hold space for these precious men and women to have an encounter with God. And it happens over and over and over again. He proves his love to them. He reveals himself to them. And sometimes it's through specific ways that he knows them, and we have words that are specific. And then other times it's just a supernatural feeling or sense that they have. And it's so much fun, such a great trip. I will bring all of you at some point. It's my goal. But instead of me droning on and on and on about it, I wanted our team to talk about their experience with it. So Amy is going to kick us off.
Good morning. As I shared in first service, Catherine asked me several times what I was going to share today, despite the fact that I hadn't agreed to share anything. So I texted her this week, and I was like, I have a journal entry from Monday, August 1st. Can I share that? And she approved. Last night before I went to sleep, God dropped the name Beth on my heart. I prayed but got nothing else. I didn't even know if there was a Beth here. I assumed it would be one of the girls in the house since I hadn't met them all the night before. This morning, I heard someone say something like, Beth said, and I immediately tried to figure out who Beth was. Beth and her husband are leaders at Battelle Hexham. I prayed throughout the day for whatever word God had for Beth, but kept coming up empty-handed. After dinner, we had a couple more prayer appointments, so we headed over to the men's house, and as I was stepping out of the van, the Holy Spirit dropped this short little 9-word sentence on my heart, and I knew immediately that was for Beth. But since it was only 9 words, I asked and listened for more, but got nothing else. We went to their house to do a prayer appointment with them after the other prayer appointments, and I didn't hear anything for the both of them while we were praying, probably because I was stressed about going up to a stranger and saying, God gave me this sentence for you. But I grabbed her afterward and told her how her name had dropped into my mind the night before and gave her that short little word that God gave me. She immediately began to cry. Beth came up to me the next day as we were leaving, gave me a huge hug, and told me the words I spoke to her were exactly what she needed and that I would never know all the reasons why. I was so blessed by that whole event, and it was just such a lesson in listening to the Holy Spirit and trusting exactly what he gives you is what he wants you to share. It doesn't need to be long, and you don't need to embellish it with your own words. Make space for him to speak and listen, and he'll speak.
Good job. I'm Nathan Blackwell. I had so much fun going over there and meeting just about everybody that I could and just hearing their stories and just figuring out how I like watching how systems work and kind of how everything interacts. But so I met about everybody that I could and got their story. And it's amazing how you got guys that are from the street coming in, heartbreaking stories. And then you had professionals, doctors and professors and businessmen, that high capacity people that just got tripped up with drug and alcohol. But it was even a step down further. I talked to this one guy, James, who really affected me. His wife died, and then he had four kids, about mid-40s, reminded me a lot, high capacity. He has a furniture shop and sells one of his best friends, equipped Mick Jagger's house with a whole bunch of furniture. But this guy, James Holiday, his wife died, gets into alcohol, meets his girlfriend at AA, and then during COVID, and it was massively apparent how so many guys got stuck in alcohol during COVID season, just stuck at home, can't do anything. And that's what he told me. He's like, I was stuck at home, couldn't do anything, so might as well drink. Nobody would know, didn't matter. So that resonated with me just with my COVID season. Cut grass, nobody would know, doesn't matter. And God convicted me, and that night, I mean, I've gone through some different things. I've grown a lot with my wife, and God said, hey, you can sort this out now, or it'll be a problem. And I said, all right, let's jump on it, and just freed and done. But yeah, it was amazing to watch the transformation. You mean, you can see it in people's faces when they came in to where they are, just totally different, transformed people. It was amazing. But yeah, just knowing that, yeah, it's fun to go to these places and you get impacted yourself. Yeah, I'm not going to drink by myself rest of my life after that experience that I had over there.
Well, whenever I have to speak, I have to ask God, please give me a scripture. So the word that he gave me for this trip was convergence. You know, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And one of the things that he's been doing in me in the last year and a half is helping me get rid of things that have been disappointing or places that he didn't quite answer in the time or the way I thought he should. When I did everything I knew to do, I'm a good fixer. And as he showed me that I was his daughter, not a granddaughter, not a stepkid, his daughter, he showed me that he had made me with an ability to shine. And so I just want to read a couple scriptures, and then we'll go from there. I only have 3 minutes, and I think Catherine's timing me, so. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And by the way, he's been showing me that he has an attitude about being our Abba Father. He is the one who wants to battle for us. We get to choose to fix it, or we can rejoice, be thankful, go back and remind him of what he's done. We can praise as he battles for us. So we get to choose, and I'm choosing joy. Now you no longer are a slave, but God's own child. And I also heard him saying that it's not a time now to be a child, Judy. I want you to step into what it means to be my daughter. So he's calling each of us to be daughters and sons. And since then, you are his child. God has made you his heir. That means we have access to all that he has for us. So the other scripture that he gave me, and he had talked to me about this a number of years ago, but he confirmed this again just a couple days ago, of Judy, it's now time to step into what it means to be my daughter. So this is from Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and the blind will see. The oppressed will be set free. That the time of the Lord's favor has now come. So what he's been challenging me to do is to step into that place, to represent him well as his daughter, and the places that he has given me victory in, I don't have a bungee cord attached to me anymore, I'm not in hope deferred anymore, that I can step into that place and I can see his freedom be released to all his children and those that are not yet his children. And those who know him can step into being that place with his authority, being his son or his daughter. And then we see freedom. He gave all that we could live in his freedom. And I choose to shine and sparkle for him.
Just go ahead and get this ready. Okay. All right. I'm in good company. Yeah. So I had to write this out, you know, because I was saying in the first service, there's way too much that happened on this trip to get up here and just kind of wing it, I feel like. So I invited the people in the first service, hey, if you got some time and you want to chat and hear some more stories, I'd love to share them with you. Whether you have a few minutes or a few weeks, I think I can fill up your time. I also wanted to preface what I'm about to say by saying that in my 20s, in my early 20s, I had a radical encounter with God, and I changed from heroin addict to person, to child, right? To son. And so I'm going into this trip. I have experienced God in some pretty amazing ways. Okay, so on the trip, I had radical encounters. By the end of the first day of praying and ministering, it was like the mystery between heaven and earth had been removed. It was removed through prophecies, visions, dreams, taking on the eyes of God, and being physically compelled in the laying on of hands. I saw clearly how God had been orchestrating my life in preparation for this moment in time. As we carried out prayer appointments, I realized that my whole life has been an appointment. At 4:30 in the morning, after a sleepless night in the presence of God, in awe of his love for me, I entered a time of worship, and the song from Maverick City's Gyra said, "I will never be more loved than I am right now. And that you would cross an ocean, right, so that I wouldn't drown." It was just words that brought me to tears and to my knees as God's grace washed over me. So next, I walked in radical faith. Hearing God's voice, receiving God's eyes for people, and speaking his message to them in faith, and having it confirmed over and over. It's faith on steroids. It's empowering. It's a lifetime of confirmed acts of faith in 10 days. The more I saw message after message in these prayer appointments hit with pinpoint accuracy, I was telling somebody in the break, sorry, this isn't in this group, but that it was so cool. We did like 50 of these prayer appointments, right? And not one of them was like, oh, this is the same. God loves us all, each individually, and sees us exactly where we are. My word for the trip became whatever. As in, God, I will do or say whatever you ask. I'm in. You know, I don't care, and I don't care whatever anyone thinks about me. I also experienced radical freedom. This radical faith allowed me freedom at a depth I never knew. I was to be free, to be who God called me to be, to speak with boldness for the Lord and to Him. This person, this anointing, had been there all along, but I did not know how to set it free. Through confession, through entering the presence of God, through faith, and through radically abandoning my fear of man, my skepticism about what God can do, and my plans for my life, I am radically free. So now I am radically changed. Before, I questioned if I knew God's voice. Now I know God's voice. Before, my faith was often safe and rarely risky. Now I feel safest in doing or saying or being whatever God wants or asks through faith. Now, before, I thought my freedom from drugs and alcohol was the extent of God's freedom. But now I am really free. My spirit is free, and I am free to be who God has called me to be. On the trip, I was so radically changed that my team members began to become concerned with what I might do. Kevin, you know, don't quit your job or sell your land or move to England. You know, maybe just wait a few weeks before making some major life decisions. And it was great, wise counsel, and I appreciate those friends. But I also thought, man, wouldn't it be great if everyone looks at me for the rest of my life thinking, what are you going to do for the Lord? And so that is my prayer moving forward. Thank you very much.
I just need everyone to know that I am far more fun than they just made me out to be, okay? And I have the final word up here. Now, listen, anyone on the screens, I see different team members here, please talk to them. They have their own stories. They just didn't want to get up and do it in front of everyone. But everyone has their own stories and things to share. So please make a point to say hello and listen and grow in your faith by hearing their testimonies. These guys, it was a great trip. It was an incredible team. And you know, you come back from experiences like this and you are like, wow, Kevin, you're Kevin. And for some of us, that ignites and it inspires faith. And you're like itching in your seat right now. You want to run out to the street and tell somebody about Jesus. And then for others of us, it actually feels like, man, I know that that's what I'm called to, but that is not my experience right now. I am not feeling it. And I believe, actually, Sylvia summed it up really perfectly in the word that she gave us during worship. Verse 2 of Isaiah 60, it says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Listen, I believe that there has been a spiritual tiredness, a weariness, a darkness, a heaviness. And man, I hate to always pin everything on COVID, but it is an awfully good scapegoat. I think that some of us are kind of coming into this season sort of clawing our way through. Just doing the next thing, going through the motions, ticking the boxes, just getting by, right? And maybe there's nothing wrong with that except for the promise that God has said we are to arise and shine because he's come. He's called us to something more. And let me just be very authentic here. This tiredness that I'm speaking of, this weariness that I sense in the atmosphere, I'm not just sensing it out here. I have sensed it in here. And so it's actually just been, I was on this trip with these guys, and I had great experiences. And I heard God speak, and I saw him move. But since I've been home, I have felt this need to address this weariness, this spiritual stupor, this tiredness that I feel like has come over us, because God has more for us. He has something different for us. And I believe he's calling us out of this weariness and into a place of life and fulfillment. And this is going to be the fastest message you've ever heard in your life. In Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. As I was asking the Lord about this tiredness thing and asking him for direction and asking for, where's the window out? Where's the door out? How do I break this thing over my life? It was these two verses that he gave me. And I see six things in here that I have been pursuing. And I want to commend them to you as well. The first one, surround yourself. You see it highlighted here in the verse, surround yourself. Chapter 11, preceding chapter 12, where this comes from, is what we call the Hall of Faith. It's stories of men and women who chased hard after God, who gave him everything, who laid down their lives for the cause of Christ. Surround yourself with the stories of these men and women. But surround yourself also with the stories that live in this room. Surround yourself with that board of miracles back there. I've been coming in here, walking laps, praying, and taking sticky notes and reading it over and over as I walk. Because these are your stories and you are my people. And so when I read them, I'm surrounding myself with the witness that God is good, and he's good right now. He's good today. He's moving right here in our midst, in our house today, and he's doing miracles. So surround yourself. Come to church often. Find friends. Go to small group. Call people when you're struggling. Surround yourself. Number two, lose the weight. Sorry. I know, it's sensitive. I get it. But this part in the verse, the Greek can actually be translated, the word for weight can be translated as parasite. A parasite is something that lives in you and eats off you. It lives in you and it destroys you from within, little by little. What's the weight? What's the weight that you're carrying? What is the thing that's holding you back from experiencing all that God has for you? And please don't say, I don't know, because you do. Maybe you don't know right now, but have you asked God? Have you said, God, why am I angry all the time? God, why am I sad all the time? God, why do I fly off the handle at my kids when they do this one thing over and over again? God, why do I look at my spouse, love you, sweetie, and I just like start to rage inside? Have you asked God? Can you identify what's wrong? What's wrong? And then are you willing to do the work to drop the weight? Are you willing to lose the weight? Are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to forgive when you need to forgive? Are you willing to overlook this offense that has held you in bondage for 15, 30, 50 years? Are you willing to drop the weight? Get real first. Be authentic. Ask God. He'll show you. And lose the weight. Number three, throw off sin. I think the version in ESV, it says lay down. I didn't feel like that was aggressive enough, so I took another version. It says to throw off. Like, let's get rid of it once and for all. Let's live the righteous, holy lives that God has called us to. Let's get rid of the sin that's in our lives. It clings to you, and it binds you up so that you can't run at full speed after the things that God has called you to. Pay attention to the things that come out of your mouth, because they reveal what's going on in your heart. And if something is coming out of your mouth that is not honoring to the Lord, then there is a problem going on here. Deal with it. I can say this. I had to make a few phone calls and have a few conversations this week about conversations I shouldn't have had and things I shouldn't have said. Deal with it. And you know what? It's like I almost immediately felt better. It's the truth. It's not fun to do in the moment, but there is, it's like a spiritual noose when you have these things that are like hanging over you. Like, man, there's so much freedom in confessing our sins one to another. It should be our regular practice. Just do it. It's not so hard. Number four. Run the race. One of the things that the Lord told me, he said, don't set up camp here. Don't unpack. Don't get comfortable feeling disconnected from me. It's not your lot. It's not your portion. It's not what you're called to. You are called to holy union. You are called to abide in the presence of Jesus all the days of your life. So when you're feeling disconnected, don't unpack. Don't settle in and figure, ugh, I guess this is just how it is and only, you know, super spiritual people hear from God. Don't settle. Run the race. Get desperate. Get desperate. And remember your purpose. It says run the race. I'm joking. I think I can see that back there. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. There is a race that is set before you, designed for you, cultivated for you, purposed for you. Run that race. Run that one. Don't look around at everybody else's race. Run the race that God has called you to run. Run towards the purpose that God has called you to. It is specific. I have to tell you, just because I think it's the funniest thing. So Matthew and I were in a prayer appointment together. And listen, we had some very significant, sweet, powerful words. But this is the one that's going to stick with me for the rest of my life. So, and actually, as he pointed out later, it wasn't an altogether like athletic-looking person. So keep that in mind. We're praying for this guy, and all I can see in my mind's eye is him jumping on a trampoline. And I'm like, God, give me something more, like, or complete it. Like, help me have a word that goes with this or something. Like, this just feels stupid. So I say, eventually, I have a picture of you jumping on a trampoline. And in my worst nightmare, and in real life, he bursts out laughing. just busts out laughing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I thought you were going to do. And so honestly, I was like, oh, well, this is, you know. And then he goes, no, no, no. He's like, I was a professional trampolinist. And I looked at him and I was like, that's a thing? I only share that with you because God knows you. He knows you. He knows your past from before you were born. He knows your present and he knows your future, and he has marked out a race designed just for you. So run the race. Number five, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look at him. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite passages. It says, where can I go from your presence? Where? How can I get away from you? It's, if I make my bed in the heavens, you're there. If I make it in the depths, you are there with me. He is always present with you, but are you present with him? Are you present to his presence? He is with you. He is for you. He knows you. It is not a matter of us getting into his presence somehow, finding the right worship song and the right verse and the right. It's not about that at all. He is God with you. Every minute of every day, of every month, of every year, he is with you. So what are you willing to do to be present to him? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to lay down your phone for a weekend, like Merle suggested, actually? Are you willing to set aside work? Would you take a vacation day or more to seek the presence of God? Would you set aside a Saturday? Would you fast from watching your favorite show at night? What will you do? What lengths will you go to seek and be in the very presence of God? Number six, worship team, join me, please. Number six, Psalm 51:2 is a prayer. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore, I think that's what happened to Kevin. If you want what he's got, pray that prayer. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Remind me, God, that I am saved. Remind me, God, that I am yours. Remind me, God, that you are with me. Remember when you were first saved. Remember how God did that for you. Remember the landmarks and the fingerprints along the way. Remember those things and rejoice in those things. Stir them up within you. It matters because we've been called to arise and shine because his light has come. And so it's good for us to recognize when we're under something, when we're not arising, when we're not shining. We have to recognize and we have to acknowledge, I was made for more. I was made to be connected with God, the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. I was made to arise and shine. So I want to invite you, would you stand? We're going to sing a song. And if this has resonated with you at all, if you have felt this tiredness or this weariness, or you have just felt like maybe your walk with God has been going through the motions and ticking boxes and just doing the right thing or whatever it is, would you sing this song today as a confession? Would you sing this song as a confession? Yesterday, I stood right here with a couple and we've renewed their wedding vows. Would you today renew your vow to Jesus? Would you renew your love covenant with him? Would you tell him again that you want to run after him all the days of your life? Let's sing and I'll close this in a minute. Ministry team, go ahead and join me up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that there's nothing else like it. There's nothing better. We love you, we honor you, God, and we commit to arise and shine. We commit, God, that we will only submit to you and your kingdom and your likeness and your goodness. And we will no longer submit to the spirit of tiredness and weariness because it's not from your hand. You're so good to us. We love you. We honor you. I pray blessing over each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, I love you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Please come forward and receive prayer if you have any sickness or if you just want someone to stand and pray with you. We'll see you next week.